Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, folks, the fans are finally going to be returning to the professional wrestling world, so to speak. And in my opinion, it's long, long, long overdue. Now, the first really to announce that was AEW, but shortly afterwards, the WWE did as well, and it's virtually at about the same time. And the WWE has stated that once they begin their, I think, 20 or 25 city tour, they're just going to keep right on continuing. Now, some of these, we'll get to this in a minute, because there's going to be some states, some cities, it's going to be a little more trouble than others. I think what the WWE is hoping is that by the time they get around to those cities, everyone will be uniformly the same. I doubt it. To be perfectly honest, I doubt it. But it's a nice thought, isn't it? And it's extraordinarily important, and we're going to get into why it's extraordinarily important for the business of professional wrestling to get their fans back. Much, much, much more important than baseball or football or basketball or hockey or car racing or anything else. Much more vital. But before we start that, we have some very interesting news. Apparently, the WWE got at least and probably more than $1 million for adding those zombies to the Miz Damian Priest match at WrestleMania Backlash. So in other words, I guess Army of the Dead or whatever it's called, the producers paid the WWE in excess of $1 million for that publicity. And to be perfectly honest, both people came out losers. How can you be a loser when you got $1 million in your pocket, you may ask? Well, because the fan backlash to that was absolutely brutal, as it should have been. As it should have been. And the company wasn't even mentioned enough, so anybody really even considered, well, what is this? It's to do to some movie? You'd have got more just adding more advertisements for the movie. You'd have got more to tell Batista to get his ass there and promote the movie. And we'll get into that in a little bit because Batista's gone insane. Maybe not gone insane. I don't necessarily think he was super connected to begin with. And he seems to have this idea that he's one of the Hollywood elite now. And that's pretty laughable. You play a character with four lines and you got the part because you look the way you do, not because of your acting ability. But anyway, $1 million. And the WWE, I know some of the fans were saying in a chat room I was in, and I was having a debate with some fans who were saying, well, I mean, how do you come down on the zombies? What the hell is the Fiend supposed to be? What was the Undertaker's called, the Dead Man? Here's the difference. By the way, I shouldn't have to explain this, but I will. The difference is there have been zombie characters and mummy characters and undead characters for almost as long as there's been wrestling. I'm not against it because it's a gimmick for a working character. That's all. It's a gimmick for a working character. That guy gets in there and he wrestles, he competes, he cuts promos, they sell merchandise. It's a way for the WWE to promote a guy. that they're actually going to use. Do you know how much the WWE has benefited by guys like The Undertaker and Bray Wyatt? Fiend's character? Here's why it's different. This is a one-shot. It did nothing but undermine the characters in the match. It did not help anybody. It didn't help The Miz and Damian Priest. It made them look like idiots. Because in the long run, if they were convinced that zombies were attacking, you think they're going to have their wrestling match? Is that what you would do? If you were scheduled for a wrestling match and you got in the ring and all of a sudden they said, well, I don't know, there's a zombie apocalypse. But only during your match. Would you run and say, well, we'll have the match another time. I'm not, you know, zombies are attacking. Or would you fight them off? Would the zombies follow the rules of the lumberjack match and not get in the ring until the lumberjack match is over? Or would they simply attack? I mean, at the end of the day, this just made the Miz and Damian Priest match look as phony as it could possibly get. And in the end, all you get is the Miz injured, and because there's so many distractions. You know, maybe he wouldn't have been injured if there wasn't a bazillion distractions. Or you got to run outside the ring and fight off zombies, and you got to do that. You know, come on. So now the Miz is out for 9 months, and maybe it would have happened without the zombies, but maybe it wouldn't have. Maybe all that distraction was, you know, made people careless. And I'm going to promise you this, and it ties into what this show is all about. This would have never in 1 million years happened if the fans were in attendance live. Never in 1 million years. But $1 million is $1 million, and the WWE, I guess, figured, what the hell? Maybe if they have a nice, heartwarming movie about, a bear finding its way out of captivity and back into the wild, maybe a bear will attack the next time they have a match. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe they'll have cartoon characters come to life and come down and do that. It's not the same thing, folks, as having The Undertaker portraying a dead man, so to speak. Not the least of which is because they never said it was true. They never said he really is dead. We found his death certificate. He's actually dead. He never tried to eat anyone. We understood it was a psychological ploy. It's not the same. WWE made a big mistake here. Can they correct it? No, they can't. I mean, what's done is done now. That match is forever going to be an embarrassment. And I guess the WWE figured for $1 million, you can embarrass our wrestlers. So if any of you guys are rich and you want to just say, hey, I'm going to give you $1 million and I want to run into the ring even though I'm 5'4", 110 pounds, and I want to be dressed as a tiger and I'm going to chase them all around the ring and stuff, they'll say, okay, that's cool. Our guys will do that for $1 million, yeah. That's great. I guess they're for sale. I guess we should have known that with the Saudi Arabia stuff, but I guess they're for sale. Anyway, fans back in attendance in July. And what does this exactly mean? Well, folks, it means the world. I've said this before, and I will say it again and again and again. There is absolutely no quasi-sport, because I don't consider professional wrestling a sport, but there's no athletic endeavor that needs fans like professional wrestling needs fans. Go to a baseball game. It doesn't matter how many people are there. It doesn't matter if anybody's there. The object is to win the game. Now, these ball players may enjoy the fans there, and they may get pumped up seeing a full house chanting their name or whatever, but it's not necessary. It's not necessary at all. They can easily do what they do. Same with football, basketball, car racing. You can't even hear the fans. You wouldn't even have any idea about the fans until you got out of your car. None of these sports really need fans because the idea behind the sport is to win, whether one fan is there or 100,000 fans are there. And while the argument can be made that some people do in fact psych themselves up out of the noise of the crowd, which is certainly possible, it's not a necessary component to what it is that you're supposed to be doing. Professional wrestling has no purpose other than that. There's no purpose to professional wrestling other than to entertain the fans. There's no purpose to it. It is a predetermined exhibition. You're not getting in there saying, I hope I win the belt tonight because I deserve it. Well, you could say that, I suppose, but it's up to the promoter. It's not like you really want it. Your job isn't to say, I'm going out there to win the belt, if the promoter tells you, no, you're losing. So it really doesn't matter, does it? Your purpose isn't to win or lose or do anything. Your purpose is to entertain the fans and do what the promoter wants you to do. There's no other reason for you to get in that ring. Now, MMA fighting, there's a very good reason. Doesn't matter if there's any fans. You have to win. Your whole objective is to win and further your career and get a bigger paycheck. And if that means there's 10 fans or that means there's 10,000 fans, it's the same. Your objective doesn't change. Well, it changes dramatically in professional wrestling when there are no fans. All you have is little screens and people watching you on the TV. And okay, you could say, well, their objective is to entertain the fans at home. Certainly, you're right. That is their objective. But they can't get any reaction from the fans at home immediately. So when they go out there, there's absolutely no way for them to tell what is working, what is not working. As it stands right now, we have no clue. None whatsoever. If, let's say, Rey Mysterio and Dominic are really popular and the fans are so glad they won the belt, or if the fans would have booed them out of the building. We don't know for sure. Maybe the fans like the Dirty Dogs. Maybe the fans would have been chanting Dirty Dogs, Dirty Dogs, and the Vince would have said, what's this? I guess they really like this duo. Maybe we shouldn't take the belts away from them. Maybe we should push them. The fans' reactions, the live fans' reactions, has made more than one wrestler and destroyed more than one. Just ask Becky Lynch. What do you think would have happened to Becky Lynch's career had this whole thing with her and Charlotte happened during the pandemic? And the Road Dogg would have said, okay, well, the gimmick is that she turns on Charlotte and she's a big heel. Becky's a big heel. Okay. Well, there would have been no fan reaction to say, no, we're cheering Charlotte. We don't give a damn. So they would have went with that, and you would have had no Becky Lynch. You wouldn't have had this big, successful, probably the most popular female wrestler, maybe in WWE history. I can't think of anybody else more popular. And you wouldn't have had that. I'm telling you right now, you wouldn't have had it. They would have pumped in the booze. They would have told Becky Lynch go out there with lines like, I don't care what the fans think. I'm tired of playing second fiddle, and she would have been ruined. Simple as that. It was the fans and their reaction that made the WWE say, well, hold the phone. We thought she was going to be a heel, but this isn't going to work. Every fan in the arena is chanting her name. For whatever reason, logical, by the way, was the reason, they're cheering Becky Lynch over Charlotte. So I guess we got to make Becky the face. And look how well that worked. Look how well that worked. Then there are the other subtle things. Jimmy Uso and Jey Uso. They're doing a great job. But when Jey Uso gets that look on his face of I don't know what to do, if there were live fans there saying, you know, chanting Usos, 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 they could play off that. Jimmy could point to the crowd saying, see, that's what the crowd wants, man. They want us. They don't want you with him. Listen to what these people are saying. He can't do that. He can't do that now. There's no fans to play off of. So now they got to resort to ridiculous things like, you know, Roman sucks, and it's just a piped-in chant. The worst one I ever heard is Bianca Belair's EST chant, and they've actually put effects on it. They put, like, echo and stuff on it. You can tell it's fake. It's taped almost like it was a recording process, like you were going to release it as the beginning of a song or something. It's terrible. It is so phony that it's actually laughable. It doesn't even sound like a live crowd. It sounds like a recorded crowd with effects on their voice. It's terrible. How do we know that they wouldn't be chanting Bailey, Bailey, Bailey? And you'd say, well, I don't know, man. You know, Bianca Belair is supposed to be super popular, but apparently these fans want to give Bailey a shot. Maybe we should think about flipping Bailey. You don't know that. See, when the WWE had no fans, they're left to their own recourses. And unfortunately, that's a very bad thing because the instincts that their writers and their promoters have apparently are horrible because they seem to do all the wrong things at the wrong time. You saw what happened, right, during WrestleMania when they had live fans. Fans booed the Bray Wyatt gimmick out of the building when Alexa Bliss turned on him. They booed it out of the building. People were chanting refund. So now the WWE knows clearly in real time we screwed it up. Had there been no fans at WrestleMania like the previous year, they would have piped in all kinds of different things to make it look like, oh, well, we made the right decision here. Clearly you didn't. And the fans made it evident that you didn't. Extremely important that feedback be live and instantaneous when you do these things. And it's the same for AEW. AEW has been running rampant on their own. Yeah, they have a few fans here and there. That's not enough. You need a full house to let you know what's happening. Maybe some of these people aren't as popular as you think they are. Maybe some of your angles aren't as popular as you think they are. When your only objective is to please the crowd and entertain the audience, you have to get their feedback. You have to have an idea of what is going to please them, what is going to entertain them. And you don't know if you've got crowd in a box, and that's kind of what you've got now. Imagine if you're a comedian and you just went up and told a stupid joke. Why'd the chicken cross the road to get to the other side? And then somebody presses a button where there's hilarious laughter for 5 minutes. And then you say, oh, yeah, I bumped into a bum, and he asked me for a bite if he had some money for a bite, so I bit him. Oh, hilarious laughter. Yeah, you try that in front of a live crowd. And see how quick they start throwing crap at you. So when you control the crowd, like Vince McMahon does now, everything he does seems like the right decision. And it's a way of trying to brainwash the TV audience into saying, I forgot they aren't live people. They're all cheering. I guess I must cheer. That's what they're trying to do to you. Fans don't do that. Fans are smarter than that. This week, I think it was on Raw or SmackDown, somebody actually said, come on, let's clap your hands, everybody. Everybody, what are you talking about? They were trying to get him to chant. You're like, there's no live people. There's just no live people. There's no point anymore. That's how important this is. The WWE, AEW, and everyone is going to get a big wake-up call in July when they start having live shows again. People will be coming in, and they will be very vocal because they've had a long, long time to build up all of their feelings toward whatever. And I can promise you, for a while, every crowd is going to be like the night after WrestleMania crowd. Every crowd's going to be like that because they got so much pent up whatever. You're going to get wild crowds, very vocal crowds. So the WWE and AEW better be ready for it. when AEW pulls their thing with Chris Jericho landing on a crash pad, and it's clearly visible, do you think that those fans might not have started chanting, that sucked, or whatever? Yeah, they might have. Damn right they might have. Much louder than you heard, you know, from a smattering of people. And then what happens? All you have to do is look back to the Hell in a Cell where Seth Rollins and The Fiend fought. Those fans went berserk. Berserk. And what did it do? It forced the WWE to say, maybe we better get the belt on The Fiend, I guess. Maybe we made a horrible mistake. And what did they do instantaneously? They got a rematch going, and The Fiend won. That was because of the crowd. Cesaro's big push is happening now, and it's not in front of a crowd. How do we know that that situation might not have changed? The WWE has a certain feeling about Cesaro and his fan base, and they say, you know, it is time we push Cesaro. But, you know, you don't give him the championship. You make it look like he's championship quality, but, you know, you don't give him the championship. Maybe if these fans were blowing the roof off the building like they did for, I don't know, Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Rock, maybe Vince McMahon would have said, maybe it is time to put the belt on him. I mean, Roman Reigns is great and all, but I guess we could have Cesaro win it and then Roman win it back or whatever. We could do that. Fans seem to be really into Cesaro right now. Maybe we better strike while the iron's hot. That happens all the time. It's going to be happening again. So what we're going to discuss on today's show is some things that may change and change dramatically once fans are back into the arenas. In other words, angles that are not going to play, people who have maybe been left out of the mix or the fans are going to demand get much more promotion. People are going to get booed who shouldn't. People are going to get cheered that shouldn't, things like that. But before we do that, let's discuss, of course, with the panel, how important really the fans are. And Todd, I don't think you can put enough emphasis on how important the fans are. Wrestling has missed this to the point where it's almost become a satire of itself without its fans.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Dale. Like you said, about the most important thing for the fans is it should be more important for the fans, but they just don't care at this point.
Well, I think they do. I think they realize. Having been without the fans, I think they realize it's very hard for us to pull an angle and then have people go on the web and say, what was the web reaction? Because I got news for you. The web reaction is always going to be negative for the most part. You better do something tremendous for people to get on and say, oh, was that sensational? Because most people don't do that. Have you ever noticed, you know, like sometimes you'll go into a business and they'll say, could you please fill out a survey and tell us how your service was and everything? And if you had really good service, you're kind of like, there's nothing to say. I'm not going to waste my time. It was good service. I'll just, you know, I'll come back here. I'll patronize them. You don't waste your time. If it's bad service and you're pissed, then you might get online and say, what a son of a bitch was rude to me and he wouldn't do this or that. And, you know, because you're mad. Happy people don't tend to go online to brag about how happy they were about service or what they saw. That's why when you see movie reviews online, you're going to see a lot of negativity more than positivity, unless it's outstanding. If you just saw a really good movie, and you say, oh, it's a good movie. I mean, I'm not going to watch it 17 more times, but I enjoyed myself. You're probably not going to get online and say, I got to write a review saying how pretty good it was. No. Nobody writes something's pretty good. It's either got to be, that's the best movie I ever saw in my life and I can't wait to tell people, or this is a disaster. And I feel cheated. And I would suggest that the latter is the most prevalent. So you can't go by reaction of the internet, because the reaction of the internet is always going to be about 75% negative. That's just the way it is. Unless you do something tremendous, You get on that internet and it's 65-70% positive, you really hit a home run. Really hit a home run. But you don't even need to do that when you got a live crowd. Because that live crowd is a sample of everyone out there in internet land. Just like when they take political polls, you know, they poll 2,000 people. Who are you voting for? And that's how they make polls. They don't do millions. They do 2,000-3,000 people. And they say, well, that's a good enough sample. Well, every live audience is a sample. Every one of them. The first sample is, how many seats did we sell? That's the very first sample. Before they even open their mouth, how many seats did we sell to this event? And who we got on top of this event? Because let's say you have, oh, I don't know, Kevin Owens going against Sami Zayn as the main event, and you have 4,000 empty seats. Then you know that that main event is not something that's going to draw fans. Maybe you think it should. Maybe it's an excellent match, but for whatever reason, fans ain't into it. And you know that you can't count on them to draw. Maybe you have Roman Reigns against Cesaro and the place is packed, and you're like, okay, well, then jackpot. We found something the fans are interested in. Let's run with it a little bit longer. A lot of these pushes could be longer. A lot of these storylines might be longer if they understood what the live crowd really wanted and reacted to it. Why do you think The Fiend is off TV for so long? I know there's a lot of people saying he took the death of Luke Harper so hard that he's recovering. I'm sure he took the death of Luke Harper extraordinarily hard. That's not the reason he's off TV. No, he COVID positive. That's not true either. You know the reason he's off TV? Because after that WrestleMania debacle, they said, we blew it. We friggin' blew it. The fans were hugely upset. And we got to let that memory die down. So let's give him time off. Let's let the fans forget. And when we bring him back, we'll try to right this ship. But if we try to right the ship the night after WrestleMania, fans are going to boo again. It's not going to work. That's why he's off TV. He'll be back. And when he is, they'll try to recreate things without dwelling on the nightmare that was their booking at WrestleMania. Because they knew they blew it instantaneously. Why do you ask? Because the fans were there, Mike. So that's as good a barometer as you can get.
It really is. And there's a couple of reasons why, you know, AEW has gone back to the fans before, you know, because they know before WWE has, because they know they won. They can't really do, they don't have the money behind them to do the whole stupid, you know, Thunderdome trick that the WWE has been trying to pull off with, I don't know, success, whatever. But they know that they need, particularly, they know that people like MJF and all those people, they need the fans. They need the reaction of the fans. They can't be in empty arenas and have. I mean, we've all said that MJF is a future, is a star waiting to happen, right? Well, to have that star happen in a big way, you need the fans in attendance to boo him, cheer him, whatever, right? And,
yeah.
And AEW knows that.
But I would argue that every federation needs that, because every federation has those stars that you don't really know whether they're going to be stars or not. I mean, look at Daniel Bryan. The fans basically made Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan was going to go so far in the WWE, and then the fans really just lit it up for him, and they said, okay, well, if that's what the fans want, I guess we got to run with it. Same way with Becky Lynch. But we could look back in our history, and if we had the Thunderdome instead of live fans, there would be no Stone Cold Steve Austin. He would be the ringmaster, and they would have pumped in boos. And they would have said, oh, yeah, see, he's one of the top heels. And it would have crashed and burned, and there would have been no Stone Cold Steve Austin. It was the fans' reaction to that and Austin saying, can I try this because it's not working with the crowd, that gave birth to Stone Cold Steve Austin. There might not have been a Rock. They would have introduced him as Rocky Maivia. They would have had the crowd cheer wildly, push that cheer button, and turn up the volume, and they wouldn't have realized the crowd ain't buying this. Maybe we can flip them heel. Maybe they'll buy that. And the Rock was born. All of this stuff was born out of fan reaction. All of it. Every last bit of it. And those are some big moments in your history. Let's face it. And I could go on and on with how many people that the fans created, and I can tell you a few that they destroyed. Because they didn't react like they thought they were going to react. Crowd was silent, or the crowd said, I'm not interested in this character. Let's take a look also at the New Day. When the New Day came out, they're supposed to be heels. They were supposed to be a reworking of basically the Nation of Domination. Xavier Woods had gotten in the ring and told Kofi Kingston and Big E before they were even a team, we're going to have to take what we want from this company. They're not going to give us chances. We got to take it. And they were supposed to be militant, black, I don't know what, militants, that's all I can say. And they were supposed to come out and be, we're taking the opportunities and stuff, Nation of Domination. Didn't work. Fans didn't buy it. Then they tried to be like Baptist church people. The crowd didn't buy that. So Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston and Big E said to Vince McMahon, it's not working. We're not getting over. Can we just try to be this? And Vince McMahon figuring, well, what do we got to lose? Because this is absolutely shit the bed. Said, well, go ahead. How much could you mess it up? Oh, I don't know. 14 championships later? And that was all done because of the crowd. The crowd reaction to the New Day just kept the New Day relevant. Every time Vince McMahon said, I guess I'm going to cycle down the New Day because they've been champions for a year or whatever. The crowd would react again to them and build them up to be the top guys. And Vince would say, well, I, as long as they're hot, they're still hot. If they're still hot, run with them. And bingo, you kept the New Day floating for I don't know how long. And they're still kind of floating. They're still not completely finished. It's a tag team with the most longevity I ever heard of in my life. As far as true and honest crowd reaction of they're still popular, it's amazing. But that's all done because of the fans. Now I'll tell you another true story. I sit in an audience and watched when they had a wrestler come out with a bullhead on. And they called him, ready for this, Bullhead. Now entering the ring, Bullhead. And here come a guy with a bullhead on. And the fans laughed in his face. There was uproarious laughter. He was supposed to be a major heel. Uproarious laughter. Well, it was a TV taping, which means he's going to come back on again. Because they were taping for the whole month. Next time he came back on, he was called Mantar. Why do you think that is? Because backstage they said, oh, my God, the fans laughed right in his face. We can't send him out there as Bullhead no more. Come up with a better name than Bullhead. They come up with Mantar, which was much better, but the fans didn't laugh. Bastion Booger came out at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center as Friar Ferguson. And was baptizing the audience. And people laughed. People were actually laughing. Next time he came out, he was Bastion Booger. And people still thought it was funny, but it worked. In other words, they took those fans' reactions and they said, oh, okay, well, this isn't working, and they can instantly fix it. My two examples that I gave you, they fixed it the same night. Literally the same night. because of fan reaction. That's how important, Mike, fan reaction can actually be to a character.
That it is. And look, I mean, as much as we want to see Big E get his singles run, we know what's going to happen when they put the three of them back together, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Especially if they decide to do it as they're coming back sometime after they come back with having a lot of crowds. They're going to, just like what's going to happen when they put, when Becky Lynch comes back, they're gonna blow the roof off, the three of them are going to blow the roof off the place. And they're off and running again.
Well, I know it's not the direction they're going to go. At least I don't think it's the direction they're going to go. But, again, what do you think would happen if we run with Roman Reigns and Jey Uso, and eventually Jimmy Uso joins the fold and decides, yes, I've decided to, acquiesce, and we're all going to be one big happy, semi-happy family with Roman as the head of the table, and we're going to be the tag team champions, and, we're all going to be a bunch of heels. What do you think would happen if Big E came back and they fought the New Day? That's three on three. Because you know that the New Day could say, well, I don't know, your definition of family is really weird. Your definition seems to be you call all the shots and these guys are the lackeys and you treat them like garbage while you tell them you love them. This is a very funny thing because we're not even really family and we're more family than you are. Because when one of us was a champion, we were all the champion. When one of us were in trouble, we were all in trouble. When one of us was on top, we were all on top. And none of us are even blood. So we think you're full of crap. That's what we think. Can you imagine the story you could tell with the New Day versus the Usos and Roman Reigns? Got a lot of story you could tell there. I don't think the WWE would do it, but you could. You could, and the crowd would buy it. Because the crowd would say, yes, we've been here for the whole New Day journey, and they're right. When Kofi Kingston won the championship, the first thing he said, this is our championship. We're all the champions. We did this together. When they were the tag team champions, they were all the tag team champions. They never turned on each other. They never had bitterness between them. And that's all that the Usos are doing. There's bitterness between every one of them. Jimmy doesn't like Roman. Jay's getting mad at Jimmy for telling him he's a bitch. Too thrilled with Roman Reigns because he thinks maybe I really am a bitch. And they're all just a big dysfunctional family, but the New Day's not. And the New Day could always say, the one thing that was missing was Big E. That's how much of a family we are, is that we couldn't really operate on all cylinders until we're all together again, but now we are. And we're going to be the tag team champions, and one of us is going to be the Universal Champion. That would be cool. I mean, Big E for a Universal push, that'd be fine. Kofi's already been there. It'd be fine. There's plenty of things you could do. But you won't know until the fans react. Because maybe the fans won't buy it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the fans would say, hey, I don't like it. Okay. Well, then you can cut it off at the knees, but at least you know. Right now, you don't know. Look at the Aleister Black situation on SmackDown. We don't know how that would have been reacted. What do you think would have happened if Aleister Black on Friday had come out and cost Big E and the fans cheered wildly? Then what? What do you do now? What do you do if Aleister Black gets huge, huge, huge face reaction? Well, you know you got trouble. You know you got to have him do something that no one will cheer, or you got to flip it, or you got to do something. Same way with Bayley. How do you know? How do you know the fans aren't demanding that Bayley flip? You have to get these fans back. Their reactions are vitally important to the careers of these wrestlers, too. Didn't you see the reaction at WrestleMania, all these wrestlers? Didn't you see the reaction of Drew McIntyre? Even Bobby Lashley and MVP MVP looked like he was going to cry. Because MVP, again, you might not have even had the Hurt Business broke up. You don't know that maybe Vince McMahon would have changed his mind on that. You had Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley and MVP all saying to Vince McMahon, don't do this. This is a bad mistake. We'd rather stay together. We'd rather run this out. We think that the fans are still enjoying it. And Vince McMahon saying, no, no, it's run its course. But they could have went and said, do you hear this crowd? Do you think it's run its course, Vince? And maybe Vince would have said, maybe you're right. Maybe it hasn't run its course. Maybe we better keep them together. So many different things, Todd, could have happened if that live crowd had been there this whole time.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. I sort of enjoyed the Hurt Business gimmick. They have all four of them working together as a unit. I kind of like that. Now it just...
And so did all the fans. So did all the fans. You're not the only one. All the fans enjoyed that. And that's why it was a mistake. Now, Bobby Lashley and the Hurt Business and MVP, they read the fake crowd right. And they said, I don't know, man. I get the feeling that the crowd is into this. I get the feeling we're going to make a mistake cutting this off at the knees. Vince McMahon's clueless. And they didn't have anything to go by except their own instinct. No, Vince, we think you're wrong. Well, guess what? Vince is always going to win that battle. If a wrestler comes to him and says, hey, Vince, I think you're wrong, they're losing that battle. But if a wrestler comes to him and say, based on crowd reaction that you can visibly see, you might want to reconsider. That's the one time Vince McMahon doesn't mind saying, maybe I'm wrong. Because he can hear the crowd. He can see the crowd. That's how much this means. And it's the same way with AEW, too. It's the exact same way. How do you know if a wrestler is losing his popularity? How do you know that the fans aren't fed up with... you know, John Moxley, we don't know. Maybe the fans are like, you know what, this Moxley thing really is not as much as we thought it was. Well, okay, well, then maybe that would be somebody's cue to say maybe we should flip them, maybe we should cycle them down for a little while. That's usually how wrestling worked, Mike. In the past, what would happen is they would run a program with somebody. They'd run it out until, you know, they couldn't squeeze any more out of the orange, and they got every last drop of what they could get out of the person, and they cycle them down for a while. And then when they figured they could push him again, they'd push him back up toward the top, or they'd maybe change his alliance. Maybe he was a face and now he's a heel, or maybe he was a heel and now he's a face. And then they'd have a full orange again, and they'd squeeze all the juice out of that one. That's the way it worked, and they would gauge it by crowd reaction. Now, legitimately, sometimes they don't listen to the crowd. I mean, let's face it. Elias had everyone chanting, walk with Elias. And they did nothing with Elias. Nothing. Rusev had the whole audience chanting Rusev Day, and they did nothing with Rusev. They ruined him. So it's not absolute. But then at least, if they do that, you know as fans, they gave you the middle finger. And then you can adequately judge what your response is going to be, whether you shut the damn program off or whatever you do. This way, they always have to fall back on, well, we didn't really have a crowd reaction. We might have made a mistake, but we didn't have the crowd here to really guide us. And that's an old fallback excuse. And then everybody says, oh, yeah, I guess. All right, well, things will be different when the crowd comes in. Yeah, things will be different. But now the WWE has a chance to prove something, and they better do it, and AEW too. And that is, listen to your fans. That's all you have to do. We've heard for as long as we can remember being on this radio show, wrestlers and promoters both saying, it's not as easy as fans think. A very, very difficult thing to book professional wrestling. No, it's not. You're being lied to. It's one of the easiest things in the entire universe. You know why? Because you have instant feedback and you can react to it. The only time it's hard is when you say, I want this guy to be my most popular guy, and they're not cooperating. Then it's hard, because then you've got to try to change fans' minds on somebody that they don't want to change their minds about. But if you just listen to the fans to begin with, I don't care. If I had 20 people in my federation, and I said, this is the guy, Mr. X is going to be my main guy. He's going to be the man of the people. He's going to be the one they come to see, and nobody gives one damn about Mr. X. But Mr. Z over here, who I thought was going to be enhancement talent, is selling merchandise and the roof blown off the building. Guess who's going in the main event? Not Mr. X, because I think he's better. I'm going with the guy that the fans are going to latch on to. And any successful business should do the same thing. That's not hard. That's not hard. So, Mike, it kind of cracks me up when I hear from wrestlers and promoters how difficult it is to book something successful. It's not if you just listen to your audience.
Right. You just listen to your audience and watch your audience. Because think about it this way. What was arguably the biggest moment in WrestleMania this year, this past year?
Probably the
winner. Arguably the biggest moment would probably have been, in my mind, what happened with Sasha Banks and before that match with Sasha Banks and what's her name? You know, when she cried and the corresponding reaction to her crying. I mean, before that, we thought we were arguing that I'm the best. No, I'm the boss. I'm this. And it was almost like two heels going against each other, and it was looking like they were trying to flip what's her name? Flipper, you know. She cries at WrestleMania and the crowd, and it blows the roof off the place. Now she's a face.
And you know why the crowd blew the roof off the building? The crowd blew the roof off the building because now we see she cares. Not as her character. Not as Bianca Belair saying, I want that belt to prove I'm the EST. No, no, no. We now see beyond the character that this means the world to me. And instantaneously we react to that because you say, that's real. Her crying and Sasha Banks not being able to really hold back her emotion, that's real. And suddenly that's a big deal because that's real to the fans too. That's why that's a big moment. Anybody can come out and say, the belt is the only thing I care about. You know, deep down inside, you're like, hey, the belt's not the only thing they care about. Randy Orton's making 10 times more money than Bobby Lashley. We'll see. Think he cares whether he's got a belt on his waist or not? I don't think so. But when you really have that human emotion and you say, this means the world to me, and Bianca Belair's very first, you know, she's main eventing a WrestleMania, and you could just see the real emotion. Well, that's important. That's extraordinarily important. And I got news. If that was in the Thunderdome, what would you have done? You didn't know she was going to react that way, so you wouldn't have had the button ready to have the crowd have whatever emotion. You could have probably ran and said, dude, quick, you know, do something, but it wouldn't have been the same. It was the reaction of that live crowd. How about if you were in the Thunderdome when Edge said, I have to retire, and you saw people really crying? Because that's what sold that moment. How about if we go all the way back to WrestleMania when Randy Savage and Elizabeth reunite after his match with the Ultimate Warrior? And the crowd is hysterical. Think that would have been such a great moment without that audience? How about when The Undertaker lost his streak and we all remember the guy whose eyes are bugging out of his head, like, what? Think that would have been a major moment? So many major moments in wrestling were major moments because of the fans' reactions. Not on a TV screen, but live. Now, the WWE can choose to ignore fans' reactions if they want to. And obviously, it's their right as their company. But I still maintain that to a large extent, the WWE tries at least a little bit to follow what the fans are looking at. If they didn't, I don't think they'd have people whose job it is to scan social media and see what the reactions are. That's vitally important, too. But not as important because, as I've said before, your reactions you're going to see on the internet are mostly negative. Negativity is a stronger emotion, unfortunately. So if you hate something, you're more likely to write about it than if you like something. That's just the way it is. So this will be very interesting. Most of their early stuff is going on in Texas and some other states in Florida and things where restrictions are minimal, if any. And I'm being told that some of the things in Texas are going to be full crowds. There's not going to be any 25 or 50%. It's full capacity crowds. Now, I want people to understand something. Once again, this is a wrestling show, and I don't care how you feel about the whole pandemic or whatever. But facts are facts. And the fact is, when Texas said we're opening up and we're going to let the Texas Rangers have a full stadium and we're going to let, you know, plays have full capacity and movie theaters have full capacity, we were told Texas is going to be a hotbed for COVID, and within 2 or 3 weeks, there's going to be a serious upswing in infections and hospitalizations and death and horrid things, and what they're doing is very short-sighted and very selfish. Well, it's 11 weeks later, and infections are down, deaths are down, hospitalization is down, and I don't hear anyone going on television saying, well, we were wrong. Maybe they're right. Maybe we don't need all of these restrictions. It doesn't seem to be hurting Texas any. So that's why the WWE is starting down there, I think. Now, here's another reason it's important. If you remember, AEW was doing very good TV numbers. Very good TV numbers. But they were doing terrible live shows. Their pay-per-view type shows, they were drawing good. But their live shows, they weren't getting a third of their arenas filled. They were going to different places, and they were finding out very quickly, I guess we're not that popular here. See, that's another thing. Let's say you go to St. Louis, and for whatever reason, the WWE or AEW, whoever says, Jesus Christ, man, we didn't sell anything in St. Louis. What's going on with St. Louis that, you know, we're not popular? You can work on that. You can say, maybe we got to get more media attention down here. Maybe we got to, you know, do a little more coming down here and promote down here a little bit more. You don't know it if it's just a bunch of people who bought the right to be on a TV show. You don't know it. You're not even sure what your strongest territories and your weakest territories are anymore because you have no gate. That's important to a wrestling federation. If I started a federation like AEW and, you know, in Florida I'm packing a 20,000-seat house and, you know, up in New Jersey I got 900 people, I'm in trouble in New Jersey. So if I want to come back to New Jersey, I have to do a lot of promotion, don't I? I got to make sure I don't have that 900-seat thing. See, that's the funny thing. When they were touring with the 205 Live, they canceled two shows because they didn't sell enough tickets. But in Poughkeepsie, New York, you couldn't have fit one more person in the building if you tried to wedge them in sideways. That place was as packed as I've seen it, and I've been there many times, including for Impact pay-per-view, GFW wrestling, main event wrestling. Many, many different wrestling federations came to the Mid-Hudson Civic Center. I've been to every single one of them. And that crowd was as packed as I've ever seen that arena. So what did that tell the WWE? Well, 205 Live is a pretty good hotbed here in Poughkeepsie, and apparently Enzo is a big draw. But down in wherever, we had the same exact people on the card, and we couldn't fill half the arena, so maybe we got to work on that territory. That's another reason, Mike, that it's so important to have those fans.
It is. Now, here's something to think about. You're talking about Texas, and the last couple of weeks, SWE hasn't had a show, but you know what it is. Also, because SWE is tied with the is somewhat loosely tied with the WWE, and they were packing their show now to a lesser extent than the WWE would be, but they packed their shows in Texas. SWE did. Well, WWE says, okay, maybe we can do the same thing, and if we go to Texas, you know, that's
sure.
SWE, that's how SWE is somewhat of a proving ground.
Sure, absolutely. Now, in the chat room, Derek's saying, well, doesn't the WWE employ people who crunch numbers on what areas they're popular at? Yeah, but only for their TV show, because they haven't had any house shows. So, in other words, you could probably say, oh, this many people in, you know, St. Louis, Missouri are tuning in to see, but that don't mean they're going to come out to the house show. That doesn't mean that they're going to buy a ticket. TV's free. So it's very important that they know what their popularity is as far as where can we go when we're going to have something major happen. Don't think the WWE doesn't have that planned. Don't think the WWE doesn't say, we're going to pull a big angle. Let me give you a really good example. Razor Ramon, when he first came in, was a heel. Everywhere he went, he was getting booed, except New York and maybe New Jersey, up in the East Coast. For some reason, the roof was blowing off the building. And the roof was really blowing off the building at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center. I mean to tell you that, I mean, chance of Razor was filling the arena, and they didn't have to coach it. They didn't have to ask you to cheer. So when they decided they were going to flip him, what do you think they did? They booked it in the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie because they knew what the crowd reaction would be. They didn't have to guess. They didn't have to say, well, I hope the crowd takes Razor's side. They knew they were going to. They knew it. To the point where if you do your WWE history and you can go back and find the show where he was promoting it, Scott Hall literally said, I'm coming to Poughkeepsie. Now, he's a heel still. Coming to Poughkeepsie, New York, to the Mid-Hudson Civic Center. Everybody loves the bad guy there. That's what he said. He literally said it. And the WWE does the opposite. Oh, we're going to have the Fiend drop to Goldberg. If we do this in Florida or Texas, they're going to boo Bill Goldberg out of that goddamn building. And we're going to look like jackasses. So let's do it in Saudi Arabia where nobody gives a shit. See? So that's what I mean when I say it's vitally important to know your market, and it's vitally important to know who's going to show up and who they cheer for and what the big draw is. Because, again, your big draw might not be what you think. When Bret Hart had his little Canadian group, they were faces in Canada. When they went up to Canada, they promoted Hart Foundation thing as faces. But when they were in the United States, they booked them as heels. Well, it's the same way. You may have somebody who's intensely popular in certain areas. Maybe down south, there's a certain wrestler you say, well, he's really popular down there. But when we come up north, fans ain't into them. So you book them different. Maybe you don't book them different for your Raw or SmackDown show, because that's universal. But you might book them different when they're down there. In other words, how many times did Jerry Lawler lose in Tennessee? Not many. Not many at all. Because when they booked Jerry Lawler down in Tennessee, they knew, well, he's going to get cheered. Now, the WWE was infamous for you losing your hometown for a while. They would have Bayley, but that was because they were trying to get people heat. But with Lawler, they didn't care because they were like, well, this is just a specialty match. It's not like we're promoting Jerry Lawler. It's not like he's going for a title or anything anytime soon. So what's the point of having him losing his hometown? Might as well send the fans home happy. So, yeah, it's vitally important that you know your areas. Oh, these guys are going to win the tag team championships. What is the, you know, what's the numbers crunch say is the most popular area for them? Okay, well, maybe we're going to be down there on such and such. That's when we're going to book that. When are we going to have a Raw or a SmackDown there? We'll do that. They do that. They do that all the time. But now it's a crapshoot because this thing has gone on so long now that some of these guys, they're just guessing. They don't know for sure. Well, where is Aleister Black popular again? I don't know. Where is this tag team popular? I don't know. They will know when the house shows start running again. They will know when Raw and SmackDown's in front of a live crowd and they get the reaction. I mean, let's just say that Angel Garza comes out and the roof blows off the building in Florida or Texas. I mean, really blows off the building. Is it going to happen? Probably not. But let's say it does. Then what's the message? The message is, wow, Garza's popular. We didn't think he was that popular. I guess his gimmick is going over. Let's run with this a little more. And then maybe they go up to New Jersey and people are like, eh, Garza. And they're like, oh, he's not that popular here. So if we're going to do something major with Garza, maybe we should do it down where the roof was blown off the building. They do that all the time, Todd, and it's important that they know their territories and who's popular where.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with certain places where wrestlers or heels are popular, and you know, it's just like you talk about Bret Hart for a minute. Everywhere else around the world, the Hart Foundation, back in the late 90s, early 2000s, as a stable, they were faces, except for the United States.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So it's very important to know. And there's no way right now that the WWE does know because some of their stars weren't even up here until the pandemic was in full bloom. So they don't really know. And some guys might have lost favor with the crowd. We don't know what Kevin Owens' popularity is right now, do we? Maybe fans are saying we're sick of Kevin Owens being treated like a mid-carder. And we're going to chant KO everywhere we see Kevin Owens. And then the powers that be might say, geez, KO's still very popular. Maybe we're overlooking him. Maybe we've misbooked him. Crowd seems to like him. It's possible. I'll tell you right now that I guarantee you, Drew McIntyre was scheduled to win that belt from Bobby Lashley. That's not a maybe it was. That's the way it was booked. And then the WWE started realizing this Hurt Business thing is really going over online. Well, they would have known it immediately if there was a live crowd. But by the time WrestleMania rolled around, they were second-guessing themselves, saying, do we take this belt off Lashley? Because the crowd does seem to like this whole thing. And it's working, and nothing else has ever really worked with Lashley. We've tried a million things with him, and he's never over. And he's over now. McIntyre's over whether he has the belt or not. So does McIntyre really need this belt? Or do we really need to keep it on Lashley? And they made the right decision and said, I think we need to keep it on Lashley because it's the only thing that gets him over. How do we know Matt Riddle's not going to be booed out of the building? Maybe fans right away said, no, this is an annoying idiot. I don't like him. So there's a lot to consider here, Mike, of how important live crowds are.
There really is, and the thing is how do you know who's going to be popular? I mean, there are times when people have just caught fire. I mean, the whole Kofi Mania thing was just something
exactly.
That organically happened. I mean,
yep,
they want to do something with Kofi, and the other two were sort of hurt at the time, and then Kofi, as people know they would do, as a lot of people knew they would do, the fans took to Kofi, and well, there you go. You get Kofi Mania, you know?
Yeah. That's a very good example. That was extraordinarily organic, and again, the crowd did that. How many times has Becky Lynch said, the crowd made my career? The fans literally demanded that the WWE use me and the WWE listened, and that's why I'm where I am. Wouldn't have happened during this pandemic Thunderdome era. It just would not have happened. So let's talk a little bit about who we think is going to be helped the most by the crowd. And the first person I think that comes into my mind that I think is going to be helped by the crowd tremendously, and it doesn't really matter whether they boo or cheer him, there's going to be strong reaction, is Bobby Lashley. We proved it at WrestleMania. Yeah, there was a 50-50 thing. People were cheering for Drew McIntyre too, but they weren't ignoring Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley was legit. Either fans were booing him out of the building and cheering for McIntyre, or they were cheering him. Now, the WWE, to be honest with you, doesn't really particularly care all that much whether you're booing or cheering. They just don't want you to be quiet. And Bobby Lashley was a guy that, you know, you could hear the pin drop when he came out. Fans are like, oh, geez, Bobby Lashley. Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll sit through it. Not anymore. So I think Lashley's title reign could last a lot longer than we think. Once the fans get back into this, Mike, I think you're going to find out that Lashley's going to get a huge reaction one way or the other.
Right. And frankly, I think once the fans get back in, then and he gets whatever reaction he gets, and it's going to help that MVP is there, because as we've said about MVP, right, MVP has
yeah.
been what his name is right now. For a long time he's been that, including when he's with Bobby Lashley. And, hey, they'd like to have Lesnar back, and the money match would be Bobby Lashley and Lesnar, you know?
Yeah, you know, this. We're going to talk about that in a minute, because the WWE is finally in a position where they're in a really, really, really good position when it comes to Brock Lesnar. But Derek in the chat room was saying, and I think this is a really good example, you could technically book Bobby Lashley or Roman Reigns against Mansoor in Saudi Arabia, and you'd sell the place out. And the fans would go nuts. If you put any of those matches on in New Jersey or Florida, fans are going to be like, oh, Mansoor. He's not going to win. This is a preliminary match. This is a warm-up match. There's where the difference is, you see. They know where their fan base is, and they know when they can promote something and make it very, very, very advantageous to the gate. So that's a really good example. Now, getting on to Lesnar, you have two things you could do with him. And both of these things are guaranteed huge WrestleMania draws. First one is absolutely Bobby Lashley. Lashley's wanted it for I don't know how long. Lashley said he was promised it, even, when he signed a contract. You could have Paul Heyman come over to Raw to manage him and Roman Reigns, one on each show, and say, we're going to take both belts. We got the one on SmackDown. Now we're going to get the one on Raw. And, you know, MVP and Paul Heyman on the microphone, whoo. You'd sell that WrestleMania match. But you could also do the opposite. You could have Roman Reigns get so arrogant that he says to Paul Heyman, you know, in retrospect, what the hell do I need you for? You're not Samoan. You're not a part of this family. You're just a money leech. You're just the guy who comes in here and kisses my ass because I'm paying your bills. I'm putting the food on your table. Well, guess what? I'm taking the food off your table. You're nothing without me. You got nothing. I'm your meal ticket. Always was your meal ticket, and I'm done. And if Paul Heyman came back with Brock Lesnar, you got a big match there. You got a really big match there, even though we've seen it before. You still got a big match now again. So Brock Lesnar has become a key component to the WWE, and don't think he doesn't know it. Don't think for a minute that Brock Lesnar isn't sitting somewhere in his hunting shack with a big old smile on his face saying, I can count the zeros because they are going to make me a gigantic offer for one of these two matches. Now, I think they'd rather have The Rock against Roman Reigns. And that would be interesting because of the family heritage and the whole thing. But I got to tell you that I don't care for that as much as I do Brock Lesnar, and I'll tell you why. The Rock's been out of the business for so long. If The Rock even did really good against Roman Reigns, it makes Reigns look terrible. Because how good could Reigns be? He can't be the guy who's been out of the business for 3 years. Hasn't had a match in 3 years, and he almost beats Roman Reigns. So I don't like that. I do like the story they could tell, and I do like what I think would be great promos. But I don't like that the match would ultimately have to be really, really close. And I think that would undermine Roman Reigns. Now, with Brock Lesnar, that's not true. So, match-wise, I think Lesnar would be better. Story-wise, maybe The Rock would be better. But it doesn't matter, because either way, it's great. And if you do the Bobby Lashley thing, that's great, too, because you now have Paul Heyman saying, I could potentially be the manager of both brands' champions. That would be a cool story. There's so much you could do, Mike, but it all involves Brock Lesnar, that Lesnar's really in the catbird seat right now.
Right, and think about this. Imagine the arrogance. Imagine we would get from Paul Heyman saying, I am now the biggest power player in the WWE because I've got both champions and possibly even having the tag team, the SmackDown tag team champions.
Right. Right. Exactly. There's so much you could do with that story. So much you could do with that story. So, yeah, I mean, the WWE is in a very advantageous position when it comes to Brock Lesnar. Not as advantageous as Brock Lesnar, who can sit down and pretty much write his own check. Because you know the WWE is going to come to him, and you know they're going to say, how much do you want to do 4 or 5 matches or whatever it's going to be to tell this story? And it depends on what story you want to tell, too. Do you want to tell that Brock Lesnar's coming in as a heel with Paul Heyman to basically challenge Bobby Lashley, who's also a heel? Well, then that means you're going to have to flip one of them, and I would suggest it would almost have to be Lashley. Because if Paul Heyman's out there with Roman Reigns, that's not going to work. So you'd sort of have to flip Lashley and MVP. But that could easily be done. That could easily be done. If you tell the other story, then you kind of got to flip Paul Heyman, and Brock Lesnar comes in as the face, I would assume. But in order to do that successfully, you'd have to have something horrible happen, like, you know, the Usos kick the hell out of Paul Heyman, or Roman Reigns kicks the hell out of Paul Heyman. And then Heyman is gone for weeks and weeks and comes back with Brock Lesnar, who takes out the Usos and, you know, challenges Roman Reigns. Then they're probably faces. The opposite would almost have to happen on Raw, where you'd have to have maybe Brock Lesnar take out MVP and Bobby Lashley be the face who's trying to avenge that. I guess that's how you'd have to do it. Either way, though, it's a great story to tell. And probably, I'm not 100% sure, but you'd probably get Lesnar cheaper than you'd get The Rock. I don't know what The Rock would want, but he's going to want a lot of money. And the bad thing about The Rock is, you know, he's not going to win. He's not going to take the belt from Roman Reigns because he's got a bigger fish to fry. So you already know the outcome of that match. So that hurts it a little bit. As opposed to the Lesnar thing where you say, well, he very well could win. I mean, Lesnar don't lose much. So he very well could win, either one of these. So it's an interesting dichotomy, Mike. They could do either one, and I think either one would be highly successful.
Right, and think about this. You could tell those two guys, hey, you're MMA, you're MMA. Hey, go for it, you know. Now, I don't know which one. And that's another thing. In a true MMA match, because I think both of them, this one may be a little bit better, but they're both about the same age. They're both about the same size. Lashley is a little bit smaller than Lesnar, but not by much. But you could absolutely tell them to make it look like an MMA match, and it'd still be a great match, you know?
Yeah, you could tell. You can wing. Just don't try to kill each other. Don't try to knock each other out, but you can wing this a little bit. You know, you guys can go at it for real a little bit. And that would absolutely work. And another reason that the fans would be so important is when Heyman shows up with Lesnar, let's see what the reaction is. I mean, if the reaction is they're welcoming back Brock Lesnar, even though Paul Heyman's with him as a conquering hero, well, then you got a problem because he's not going to be a heel. So you're going to have to keep MVP and Bobby Lashley as the heel. If they're booed out of the building, when Paul Heyman says, I'm going to have both championships, then you got a really good chance to flip Bobby Lashley. That depends on fan reaction. So that's why fans, again, are so vitally important coming back here. I mean, it'd be very hard to decide who you're going to root for if you go that direction. You would think Paul Heyman would be the clear heel, but fans might be into seeing Lesnar come back to challenge Bobby Lashley. So you're going to have to gauge it. Have them both stay heel for the first performance and just see where's the crowd going with this. I would assume they'd cheer for Lashley. That's my assumption. But I don't know for sure, so run it out there and see what the fans think. That's the deal. Run it out there and see what the fans think. And let's go by their reaction. Now, you're almost guaranteed that if you do the opposite and you have Paul Heyman get the shit kicked out of him, he comes back with Lesnar to fight Roman Reigns, then they're going to be the faces. Because I think after all this time, I don't think too many people are going to cheer the Roman Reigns angle over, especially if Roman Reigns is saying nobody can beat me and, you know, I'm tapping everybody out and, you know, I'm the big whatever. And here comes Lesnar who we know he's not tapping Lesnar out. So then you've got, oh, well, let's see you get by Lesnar. And that automatically becomes a face thing. And curiously enough, when Paul Heyman wants to do the face thing, and he did it in ECW, he can be very engaging with the crowd. Very engaging with the crowd. So, I mean, if Paul Heyman got the crap kicked out of him, he came back and said, look, I've been in the wrestling business a long time, and I'm not going to get chased out of any territory by anybody. And that includes Roman Reigns. I took Roman Reigns under my wing, and I made him somebody that he never was before, and every one of you fans know it. And he's a thankless bastard who thinks he's better than he is. And I'm not afraid of him. Yeah, you can kick my ass, but I'm not afraid of you. So if you're such a big man, come out and kick my ass again. And here they come. And then all of a sudden you hear Lesnar's music. You're going to see a huge, huge pop. You could even play it that Paul didn't know. You could even play it that Brock Lesnar just came back and said, oh, no, that's not happening twice. Paul's my friend. I don't have many friends in my life, but he's one of them. And you're not kicking his ass. Come kick mine instead. See if you can kick mine. Fans would go nuts. So either way, Mike, you've got a guaranteed winner, in my opinion.
Yeah, and look, here's the deal. I think the better play, just because of the two guys that would be on the mic, The better play would be, in my mind, Lashley Lesnar. It doesn't matter either who's a face or who's a heel, because remember when the Hurt Business was really going good and they were storming down the ring to take on 30 people, who was getting cheered?
Right.
You know? I mean,
yeah.
And look, this was at that time, and it was Lashley. It was Lashley and the rest of them, but Lashley a lot. And, you know, he's a big, tough, strong guy, and you're not going to fool with him. And we've said it, I've said it before. Can you imagine the promos cut by both Heyman and an MVP?
Yeah, it would be absolutely sensational. It would be absolutely sensational. Now, I think the better match would probably be Lesnar and Roman. They've fought each other before. I think they could probably pull off a better match, a longer match anyway, put it that way. Lashley is one of those guys, and so is Lesnar to an extent, that they benefit if the person they're fighting creates more of the motion. And as much as Roman doesn't, you know, Roman's a big guy too, but he can create a hell of a lot more motion than Lashley or Bobby Lashley or Brock Lesnar. So then it would be up to him to do a lot of the moving and a lot of the whatever, and his cardio would be probably better than the three of them. So that's what would happen there. I imagine, like you said, Mike, it would start more like an MMA match with Lesnar and Lashley, and there'd be a lot of rest holds and stuff like that to give them some time. But either way, I think you'd have a winner. But the deal is to let the fans decide. And that's what this whole show has been about, is you, when the fans come back, we will clearly know what's going on. And we'll also clearly know what's going on with AEW. So let's talk about them for a minute. Once again, if the WWE sells out some stadium in Texas, and you say there was 20,000 people there tonight, and AEW comes down to Texas in a reasonable area and there's 800 people, well, you know what's up. And that is that it doesn't matter what the ratings are. WWE is a huger draw because of the names they have. And then AEW could clearly say, well, we're drawing TV ratings when it's free, but we don't seem to be able to get people to come out of their houses to see these people, so we're going to have to create more stars. See, I think that is going to be the reality for AEW. Because there's people who will get in their car and say, Roman Reigns is going to be at, you know, local arena tonight, maybe 20 miles away, 30 miles away or whatever. Roman Reigns is going to be there, or Drew McIntyre is going to be there, or Bobby Lashley is going to be there, or Bray Wyatt's going to be there. I can't miss my chance to see them. Is there the same amount of people who say Cody Rhodes is going to be there? The Young Bucks are going to be there? I can't miss my opportunity to see them. I'm going to say no. And I'm basing that on the following. I was at an independent card that Cody Rhodes main evented, and it drew 200 people. Independent card. I was at a huge event that the Young Bucks were a part of. And while that drew several thousand people, the stadium could have held several thousand more. So in reality, I don't know, is there that big of a draw when it comes to I'm getting in my car, taking my own personal time when I'm not sitting on my sofa with a bag of chips and a beer, driving 30 miles, paying for parking, walking into an arena and sitting in a seat. That's going to be a big test for AEW. We know that their ratings are equal to or slightly better than NXT. But now they're going to have to prove we can hang with the big boys when it comes to drawing a crowd. I'm not 100% sure of it. And I don't think we'll know immediately either, Todd, because when these things are announced, people probably are going to go because they're tired of not going to events. So I think the first few months, I think everybody's going to have sort of packed houses because people are tired of being locked up in their house. But let's say December January rolls around, then that's going to be the real test, I think, of who's drawing and who's not when it comes to house shows.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said. You never know what's going to happen. It could be a full capacity of these house shows, and because everybody's got tired being stuck inside of their homes for the last 15 months or 16 months. It's
right. It's absolutely ridiculous. I'll tell you something else, too. It depends on the regulations. So let's talk about that a little. When you're going from town to town, you're going down to Texas and they say, you don't need a vaccination card and you don't need to wear a mask. Okay. Well, then a lot of people are going to say, well, that's great. So I'll be able to relax just like I always did. You come up here to New York and they say, well, you're going to have to show a vaccination card, which I will never do, by the way. I don't care if I'm vaccinated 17 times. If you think for 1 minute that I'm showing people a card just to get into a whatever, like this is Nazi Germany, you've lost your mind. I'm not doing that. Because what comes next? Well, can you show us a card? You don't have, whatever other diseases that could be contagious? Could you show us a card that tells us, you've never been arrested? You've never had a felony? You've never, can you show us a card to tell us whether you're a Democrat or Republican? No. You're not seeing any card from me. I totally disagree with that to a large extent, and that's just me. And what cracks me up is the same people who won't show Walmart their receipt because they say, this violates my privacy. When you just paid for the goddamn thing, why can't you show them the receipt? Are the same people saying, oh, just show them your vaccination card. Stop being a baby. Okay. No, not showing vaccination cards. So I won't personally go to any arena that says you have to show a vaccination card or wear a mask. I'm also not going to any arena that's making me wear a mask, because if you think I'm sitting in a hot wrestling arena with a lot of fans screaming my lungs out through a mask, you've lost your mind. I'm not doing that. That is very dangerous to your health. Here you are screaming and yelling and you can barely get enough oxygen. No. That's not happening either. So, yeah, we're going to have a situation where certain states are going to get preferential treatment by the companies. And that's going to piss off some people. And that's going to force the hands of some of these other states. Because if the WWE is saying there's no point of us coming to New York, we can't draw. Half the fans refuse to show their vaccination card. The other half say, I'm not wearing a mask through a three-hour TV taping. So we're drawing flies. We'll just stick into Texas, and we'll stick to Florida, and we'll stick to South Dakota. Well, they're losing that revenue. New York's losing that revenue. And there's going to be a lot of pressure put on them to ease up those restrictions. So this should be fascinating, Mike, to see what parts of the country get preferential treatment by these wrestling federations as far as their touring schedule.
Right. I mean, look, I'll put it to you this way. We have a Democratic governor in the state of Louisiana, and we're opening up, all right? And we're opening up. That means that that's going to be one of the states where – and we're opening up to the point of the New Orleans Saints are going to be able to fill the Superdome. The New Orleans Pelicans are going to be able to fill their stadium. The when the football season starts, the LSU Tigers will be able to fill their stadium, you know, and all that stuff. So when all these states like Louisiana and Texas and Florida and all of the, I don't want to say more conservative states, but all these states like that start opening up, and all the states like Michigan and California and New York continue to remain closed and lose out on all that revenue, then things are going to change. See there?
Yeah. And, you know, you made a good point. This isn't even anymore about Democrat or Republican. This is about your ideology as far as what you believe when it comes to this virus. Now, we have a governor who says you still got to wear your masks, you still got to social distance, you still got to do X, Y, and Z, you have, even if you're vaccinated. Maybe upstate New York, where I live. See, here's another thing. There's such a thing as just plain civil disobedience. Now, I live in upstate New York, and I can tell you right now, there's plenty of people walking around in stores with no masks. Guilty as charged, I'm one of them. And no one's ever asked me to see any kind of vaccination card. And no one better. I simply won't patronize the store. And I've not dropped dead from this. But the ideology down in the city is still got all those restrictions still apply. Well, I got news. Concerts aren't going to come to this city then. Wrestling events aren't going to come to this city. Big Broadway, well, not Broadway, but big productions of plays and things are not going to tour here. Because they're going to say, well, let's face it, fans aren't going to sit through 2.5 hours with masks on. Fans are going to feel inconvenienced and their privacy is being violated if they have to flash some kind of paper saying they're okay to come in. Now, I'll tell you right now, if you just want to, like, have one of those things that take my temperature, I'm okay with that. I'll do that. If you just say stand in front of this machine and if your temperature is normal, you can go in, I'll do that. I don't think that's a violation of my privacy. I'm not showing you papers. That's just not happening. Not now, not ever. And I'm not wearing a mask. I have a very good friend who, me and him and Todd go to wrestling matches all the time. He feels the same when I'm wearing a mask. And I have a friend who runs a wrestling federation in New Jersey. And he wrote me not long ago and said, you guys ever coming back? I mean, we're holding events. And it's 25%, 30% capacity, and the chairs are spaced out and stuff. And I said, do I have to wear a mask? And he said, well, yeah, New Jersey regulation still is you going to wear a mask. I said, I'm not coming. You really want me to sit in a building that's going to be 75 degrees, screaming my lungs out because you want me to create some energy, and you expect me to wear a mask the whole time to restrict my breathing? And I'm going to be sweaty and breathing in that. No, I'm not doing it. That's a really good way to damage your lungs. A really good way to damage your lungs. And I'm not doing it. Now, a lot of people say, well, they work at Walmart or whatever. They wear the mask the whole day. Yeah, but they're not screaming and yelling for 3 straight hours. You can be quiet. You want me to come and not say a word? I guess I can do that, but what's the point? What's the bloody point of going to a wrestling match if you're not going to scream and yell? The reason myself and the people I go with are so popular among the indie federations is because we make noise. We create some energy. I can't create the energy if you're going to cut off half of my breathing. So no, I can't go. So who gets hurt by that? The people who have to follow those regulations. It's not his fault. This is what New Jersey tells him he has to do. But like Mike said, this is why certain places are going to get hurt. Certain places are going to feel the pinch because they're going to say, well, forget it then. We'll go to someplace else. WWE doesn't have to hold events in New York if they don't feel like it. They don't have to hold events in New Jersey or Connecticut. They can just stay in Florida, Texas, Louisiana, South Dakota, all these states who are saying, yeah, you don't have to wear a mask. Tennessee, I think. Most of Tennessee anyway. They'll find the places. And guess what? All that revenue is going to come their way. All that revenue is going to come their way. And the same thing's going to go for touring rock bands and country bands and rap bands and touring plays and theater groups and all kinds of things. They're going to find the states that they can perform in and draw the biggest crowd of happy people. And the states that don't allow it, Well, Todd, they're going to be SOL, as the old saying goes.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about the shows in New Jersey, about the indie shows, I would not go there just to sit there for three and a half hours wearing a mask, swearing my ass off. I would not go.
No, nobody would. That's the thing. You're going to get some people there, and they're going to be like, boo, yay. And then they're like, oh, man, this mask is hot. I'm not going to cheer too much. It's pointless. And by the way, nobody wants to see a whole audience of people with masks on. It just keeps reminding you over and over and over again about the year and I don't know how long we have spent of our lives that we're never getting back. You know, I love the people say, you know, cherish each moment of your life because you don't get that moment back. Well, I'm not getting this year and I'm going on 2 years. I'm not getting any of this back. And now you want to elongate it more and more and more and more and more when in reality, no one's twisting my arm to go to a wrestling event. If I want to take the chance and go to a wrestling event, that's my chance. I'm taking a chance when I get out on the highway. How do I know I'm not going to get in a traffic accident? I'm taking my chance when I go on an amusement park ride. How do I know it's not going to sling me off into the midway? There's a chance. Do you know that as it currently stands, unless you're over 50 or 55, your chances of getting COVID and dying from it are less than being thrown off an amusement park ride and dying? I want you to let that sink in for a minute. Do they make you sign a waiver? If I get hurt in this amusement park ride, I did it because it's my own fault. Before you get on this ride, you have to show me your health information. Do you have a bad back? Do you have a bad neck? Have you ever had any kind of seizures? Do you have epilepsy? Do you have any kind of diseases that might make you freak out on this ride? Did they ever do that? Once, did an amusement park ever do that? The only thing they ever said was, are you tall enough? Well, that's goddamn obvious. That's not personal information. That's goddamn obvious. But then did they ever say, show me your medical report that says you're healthy enough to ride this ride? No, they never did. So don't come to me now with this nonsense that I got to flash a vaccine card, because that's not happening. And professional wrestling is going to feel the pinch of that. So Vince McMahon or Tony Khan or whoever it happens to be, they're smart. They're going to realize that. They're going to say, well, you know, we go up there, and there's going to be problems. Half the people are going to wear masks, and half the people don't want to show the card, and they're not going to come. Because the people who are the, you must wear masks if you're not vaccinated crowd, is going to say, I bet you a lot of those people are lying, so we're going to stay home. We don't think it's safe. And the people who say it's perfectly safe and the masks are stupid and I'm not getting vaccinated are going to stay home because they're going to say, we're just going to get yelled at and screamed at by these stupid people who think we're killing them. And what does that result in? No crowd. So they're smart enough to figure that out. And they're going to stay away from these places. You wait and see. You know, I just looked up a schedule of a concert tour that's happening in a couple months, I think, and it's Alice Cooper. I'm a big fan of Alice Cooper, and he's going on tour with Ace Frehley. And he's coming to New York, but they're doing outside venues only, and they're only doing 2 dates on the East Coast. All the rest are in places where they can fill up those arenas. Not doing any indoor shows that I know of in New York or New Jersey. So who gets hurt? Who gets hurt? So it's going to be interesting to see how these states react. And it's also going to be interesting to see if the states that the WWE does not go to so much, or AEW does not go to so much, that's going to result in their TV ratings going down. In other words, maybe some people are going to say, well, you know, AEW never comes around here. I kind of lost interest. I'd like to see it, but, you know, and then they just fade. Because remember, when a wrestling federation comes to your town, oftentimes you're like, oh, I'm going to go and I'm going to bring a few of my friends. And sometimes some of your friends are like, well, I don't watch it that much, but I'll go because it's going to be a good time. My friends are going to be there. It's going to be a good time. And then they go and they watch and they're like, maybe I will watch this TV show. I like this. This was fun tonight. I'll tune in next week. And that increases your ratings. So that it'll be very interesting. That's why you go on tour to begin with, it's to increase your TV ratings and stuff, to increase your public profile. And if they isolate themselves in certain areas, Mike, their public profile may go down in those areas.
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, Texas and Florida are big states. You'd like to be able to go to New York. You'd like to be able to go to California. I mean, maybe you could get away with staying away from Michigan. I'm not sure, but you know, but like we said, look, Tennessee, Kentucky, Louisiana, Arkansas, North Dakota, South Dakota. I mean, I can name that litany of states, the most of which are the states that in terms of South Dakota, they didn't close down at all.
Not at all.
So,
and Mike, we watch SWE all the time. That's from Texas. They got a full crowd.
Yep.
None of them are wearing masks.
No. So, I mean, that's the thing. And like we said earlier, maybe not your esteemed governor, but the guys in the legislature up there when they see that they're losing all this money, the state's losing all this money from these events that aren't coming there, then they're going to look at it and say, hey, we got to do something about this.
You're absolutely right. And you know what they're trying to do now? It's almost comical. They're having like, okay, this band is going to perform live in Texas, but we are going to live stream it to movie theaters or drive-ins, because there's still some drive-ins, and you can watch it live, but it's on tape from Texas. Nobody's doing that. I'm not doing that. If I want to go see a band live, I'm not sitting in front of a TV screen watching them. I might as well stay home and watch them. You might as well just do it on pay-per-view. It's not the same as being in a live concert. It's not the same. That's the same thing as me saying, well, I'm watching Monday Night Raw at home, but it's live. So I'm there. No, you're not there. It's not going to work. You can't turn this whole country into an isolation zone. At some point in time, folks, we got to decide what is worth the risk as opposed to the reward. Maybe we'll live a year longer if we all stay indoors and never leave one room. Is it worth it? Maybe we'll all live a year longer or 2 years longer if we never eat meat again and just live on grass and soy. Is it worth it? At some point, you have to ask yourself, are the extra days that could potentially be added onto my life worth doing absolutely nothing with my life? And the answer is, of course not. Of course not. If tomorrow New York said, well, the WWE is coming locally to you, down to the Mid-Hudson Civic Center, and you don't have to wear a mask and there's no social distancing, I'm going. Could I potentially catch COVID? Yeah. I could also potentially die on the way down there in a traffic accident. I could also potentially have the roof cave in on me and die. I could also potentially have a nut come in with a gun and gun me down. I could also potentially be mugged and killed on the street. But I'm not going to stay in my house with the lights out, locked in a closet for the rest of my life, saying, nothing can touch me here. That's not the way anybody wants to live their life. Nobody wants to die of COVID. I also don't want to die. I don't want to be murdered. I don't want to die in a car accident. But that don't mean I'm never getting another car. It doesn't mean I'm never going to walk a street. So at some point, you'll have to ask yourself, what risk versus reward, folks? And I'm telling you right now, it's no more important to anything than it is wrestling. Wrestling needs you. Pro wrestling needs you. I don't care if it's an indie federation or the big leagues. Pro wrestling needs you. They need you more than baseball. They need you more than basketball and hockey and football and car racing and everything else. Because when you walk in there without a mask, when you walk in there and you don't have to social distance, you know what you're telling them? You're not telling them I'm a reckless person who doesn't care about my health or anybody else's. No, that's not what you're telling them. You're telling them what you do is so important to me, it's worth a little bit of a risk. What are they doing in the ring? Is that a risk? Maybe they should never do that again. Maybe they'll live a little bit longer. Maybe they'll live a better life. Maybe they won't be all crippled up at age 60 and not be able to walk. Maybe we should just ban wrestling altogether because then all of these people will live a much healthier and happier life. Is that okay? Maybe we should ban car racing because, after all, at speeds that high, you can't guarantee somebody's not going to die if they crash. Hell, you could die. Wheel come off of one of those cars and fly up in the audience, you could be killed. Maybe you better not go. See, at some point, folks, I'm sorry. You got to start facing the music. We're all going to die sometime. And I'm going to live my life while I have the chance. And wrestling, to me, is a big part of my life. So I'm going to go the minute I can. But I'm not going to follow these stupid regulations. I'm not going to do it. Because Texas has clearly proven you don't need to. Florida has clearly proven you don't need to. South Dakota has clearly proven you don't need to. People aren't different. We're all made up of the same flesh and blood. So if they're not dying in Texas, they're not dying in New York. It's all about political ideologies and what you and the risk you want to take with the people who are managing our particular states. And if wrestling dies in New York, okay, well, then it's dead in New York. Maybe it's dead in New Jersey. Maybe it's dead in Connecticut. Who knows? But it'll just thrive somewhere else because that's what's going to happen. We will see what happens when July comes around. The WWE eventually is going to have to come to New York. And by that time, I know what they're hoping. They're hoping, well, if we go to Texas and we go to Florida and we spend most of July there, in that area, by August, maybe the Eastern Coast will say, well, you know, maybe it is time. After all, nobody's dropping dead down there. Maybe we need to just go ahead and let this happen. That's what they're hoping. If that does not happen, they're not coming up here. Why would the WWE come up here and draw a third of the crowd they can draw somewhere else? Why would AEW come up here and draw a third of the crowd they can draw someone else? They're not going to go to their strength. They're going to go where the audience is going to be. And I promise you this. If they tour for 6 months, someone's going to get COVID. Someone's also going to die in a traffic accident that was in that crowd. Someone's also going to die of a heart attack that was in that crowd. Someone's also going to commit suicide probably that was in that crowd. So what? Is that any reason not to go? The law of averages says if you're drawing 10, 20,000 people a night, one of those people is going to be involved in a mugging or a traffic accident or a terrible accident, or they're going to suffer some kind of a disease, or something's going to happen. When you put that many people for 6 months, something's going to happen. That's the law of averages. But that doesn't mean you don't go. The news is just going to say, well, they were on tour for 6 months and 18 people got COVID. Okay, how many people died in a traffic accident that was at those shows? You want to give me those numbers? How many people had a heart attack or some other disease befell them? Want to give me those numbers? No, you just want to give me the COVID numbers to scare my ass. That's exactly what they do, Mike, and that's exactly what they're going to keep doing.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly what they want to keep doing. And that's the thing. Those particular states, I mean, they thrive, the leaders of those particular states thrive on fear, and this is a big fear play. You know?
Yeah.
Whereas you look at Texas, you look at Louisiana, you look at Florida, you look at South Dakota, you know, you look at all these states where it cuts both ways, Democrats, Republicans, it doesn't matter. That particularly in our state, our governor went by the rules set forth by the government, the three tier, the tiers of opening up that it was set by, guess who? President Trump, President Trump's administration, you know, and it's like, okay, so we're going to do this, this, and this, and if it goes good, then we're going to go up to this tier, and that's exactly what he did. He lived up to it, and he's a Democrat, you know, so.
Exactly. I'm not for just saying open up everything, and if everybody dies, they die. That's not what I'm saying. We did the gradual thing. Here in New York, it was like you got to walk into a restaurant, you have to have your mask on. If you sit at the booth that's 2 feet away from the counter, you don't have to have your mask on. That does not make any sense. And any rational person knows that does not make any sense. If I could catch it at the counter ordering, then I can catch it 2 feet away sitting. It doesn't make sense. So the tiers make sense. You try it a little. If there's no big explosion of infection, you go a little farther. If there's no big explosion of infection, you go a little farther. That's what you do. But you can't just report all one thing. I went to see Gilbert Gottfried, the comedian. And one of the first jokes he told wasn't really a joke, but one of the first things he said was, this is a really big crowd. Maybe there was, I don't know, few thousand people there, a couple thousand. There's a really big crowd. Do you know that the law of averages says one of you ain't going to make it home tonight? At least one of you ain't going to make it home tonight. He's right. Now, maybe we all did. I hope we all did. But the law of averages says one wouldn't. Well, it's going to be the same way with COVID. But you don't report that, and that's not the reason you don't go. You don't say, wait a minute, the law of averages says 1 in 5,000 people get in a car accident. Well, there's going to be more than 5,000 people there. That means if there's 20,000 people there, I got 1 in 400 chance of getting in a car accident. No. That's not the way you live your life. Pro wrestling needs its fans. It has been dying because of lack of fans, and I mean dying. Never have I enjoyed pro wrestling less than I have since the shutdown in March. Every one of its flaws have been exposed. Every fiber of its very existence has been minimized because of it. And it's at the point now where even the athletes weren't happy, and they had to do this Thunderdome thing to make it even a little bit seem like there's fans there. And everyone realizes we need this. And let me tell you something. The very first event where there's full capacity crowd, no masks, is going to be like a celebration. You know, after 9/11 happened and baseball had ground to a halt and things, one of the very first baseball games played afterwards was by my New York Mets, and Mike Piazza hit a home run. And when that audience stood up and cheered, there were people crying, and they weren't crying because Mike Piazza hit a home run. Mike Piazza's hit plenty of home runs. It didn't win us the game. It wasn't a walk-off home run. They were crying because life went back to normal. And they realized for that split second, that excitement of watching that home run and everybody in the audience standing up and cheering, my God, we're back to normal. Life goes on. Someone's going to have that moment. WWE is going to have that moment. AEW is going to have that moment. And it's going to be in a different state. It's not going to be in New York. Not this time. And that moment's going to forever be remembered. Now, some people say, well, that was WrestleMania. Maybe. But I think it's going to happen again. Because WrestleMania was a special event. And they knew that afterwards it was going to go back to the way it was. This is the signal. It's never going back to the way it was. We're going forward and forward only. And that's what's going to make this moment so special, Todd.
I'm absolutely right there, like you said, about that. It's not going to get back to normal just like that, technically.
Well, I think it is. I think what's going to end up happening, Mike, is that's going to signal when that first event happens, no masks, full capacity crowd, that's going to signal we're never going back again, and that's what's going to be the big moment.
That's going to be what's – yeah, you're absolutely right on that. And think about it. Again, I'll go back to what I said earlier. When that moment happens and it's not in New York and it's not at Madison Square Garden, you
yep.
know, or the Mid-Hudson
right.
Civic Center, or take your pick of the big arenas in New York, all right? I just use, you know, Madison Square Garden because that's traditionally been a big WWE place, right?
So, yeah, I think you're right.
Let's just say if it's at the Houston Rockets arena and they're putting a big crowd in that arena and it's not at Madison Square Garden, what's going to happen? You know?
Yeah, you're going to lose that moment forever. Exactly, and then again, fans are going to feel. Oh, that elation was great, but it doesn't apply to us. At least when Mike Piazza hit the home run, whether you were a New York Mets fan or you hated their guts, and you saw that crowd and you saw that reaction, even if you were never, ever a New York Mets fan, you said, my God, that's a moment because it's a moment that everyone said our lives are going back to normal now. The past is the past, and it's horrible, but we're not going back. Someone's going to have that moment. Not going to be my state. And it probably isn't going to be AEW because they don't have a big enough fanfare. It's going to be WWE. WWE is going to have that moment. And it's going to be televised around the world. And every single person who's in a state that doesn't allow them to do that is going to take a good hard look at that and say, why not? Thanks for listening, folks.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.